We're entering into the Christmas season, and I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to ending this year off well. It's been a year, right? It's been something different that most of us have never experienced before, and it's had its ups and downs, it's had its challenges, but through it all, we are reminded that we are still loved by God, that we are still His church, that He is still in charge, that He knows exactly what is going on at all times, and that no matter what is happening in politics, in our government, in the medical field, no matter what's going on in your world personally, with your job, with your family, God is still in control. And I know that sometimes it does not feel that way, and it can leave you wondering what in the world is going on and what you should be doing next. And if you're like me, sometimes when a lot of stuff comes at you at once, it can be a little paralyzing sometimes, right? To go, man, I've got so many things to do, I don't know which one to do next. And as your pastor, I just want to encourage you to take some time during this season to slow your roll, to slow it on down, because it is easy right now to lose yourself. If you're paying attention to everything that's going on in the media and what other people are saying, and you're scattered and your mind and your soul are not settled and not where they need to be, it can be easy to lose who you are and forget who God has made you to be, and to kind of forget the identity that we have in Him, and to rest and abide in Him. And that's part of the reason we're doing this series called A Season to Be. Not just to do, not just to go, not just to figure out, not just to weigh out what you feel about this issue or that issue, but to slow down and let our Heavenly Father remind you who you are in Him and what your identity is in Him, and to embrace that. So we find that as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, right here in His Word. So if you have a copy of the Scriptures with you or a device with the Bible on it, go ahead and turn in that to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be reading the Christmas story today. Tim's already read that for us. And those same verses, we're going to be going back over those in a message that's titled, A Season for Believing. You see, it's easy right now, and I know for a lot of folks that I've talked to have said, I feel like I've kind of lost myself. I feel like I've lost my way. For some have even said, I feel like I've lost my faith. I'm not even sure about my own relationship with God anymore, coming out on the other side of this pandemic and on the other side of 2020. But I want to remind us this morning that as a follower of Jesus Christ, He has not forgotten you. He loves you. You are secure in His hand. And even though you may doubt, and even though you may have done some things recently that make you feel unfaithful, we are reminded that our God is faithful. And we're going to see Mary's story this morning about how she was approached by this angel and her world was about to be turned upside down. And the world around her had already changed so much. The Roman government has already come in and taken over. And so her political world has changed. Her religious world has changed. And in the middle of that, God's plan has stayed the same. In fact, it was the fullness of time, right? Because God's plan was right on track, and He knew even before she was born that He had chosen her, that she was highly favored, that she was going to be the one that would carry the God child. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for You as we celebrate You at this season of the year, as we are reminded about how You have entered into Your creation, Lord, as we are reminded of how You took on flesh and came to minister to us, to dwell among us, Lord, how You came to be a sacrifice for us. God, I pray that as a church family, that we would be excited this morning as we get the opportunity to come together and worship and study Lord, I pray that you would minister to our hearts and souls. Lord, for those whose hearts are feeling low, for those who feel like they've lost their way, maybe they've lost their joy, maybe they feel like they've lost their faith. God, I pray that this morning, with your word and your spirit, that you would minister to our hearts and that you would remind us of who we are in you. People of faith, people who believe, not because we know everything about you and have you figured out, for that is an impossibility. But Lord, remind us of our first love. Remind us of how you found us, where we were, what our story was, how surprised we were, how we were caught off guard, and yet how you lovingly drawled us into relationship with you. And God, I pray that every single person would leave this place today filled up by you, ministered to by you, and their faith would be strengthened, and they would leave here reminded of who they are in you. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This is a season for believing. This is a season for remembering that God has come, that he has taken on flesh. And it's a time for us to remember what we believe and who we believe in. And so I'm going to draw your attention to this morning to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And especially three different lines that we'll see in that passage. The first line is going to be this: how will it be? How will it be? Or your passage might say, how can it be? Because that is what Mary says to Gabriel, the angel, when he explains what is going to happen to her and how she has been highly favored and chosen by God to fulfill this role. And her response to him is, what? Seriously? How can this be? You've been there before. You know what I'm talking about. Where something happens to you, maybe a year, like 2020 happens to you, or a crazy situation happens to you that you don't understand, that you can't wrap your mind around, and you're asking that same question, how can it be? I remember 9 months ago, right? Sure, that's when COVID kind of took off, but 9 months ago is when I got home and my wife says, hey, I need you to look at something. I'm like, sure, what do I need to fix? She's like, no, it's laying right here on the bed. It's a pregnancy test. I'm like, okay, what does that say? And she says, what do you think it says? I'm like, it's been a while since I've read one of these bad boys. And she's like, it says I'm pregnant. And my next line was, how can it be? And she's like, how do you think? And so it took a while to go, wow, I feel like Abraham. In my old age, God has blessed me with a child. And we are so joyful and excited to welcome this new boy into this world and really feel the honor and responsibility to have the blessing of raising a fifth child. And to say that God would trust us with that, even after we've totally messed up the first four. Right, son? Just kidding. So, it really is an honor and a joy to be able to do that. But it is something that we prayed about, we talked about, and God gave us peace about. And it's been an honor to receive that. But let's read Mary's response. We'll pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, says this. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So the background here is that Gabriel, the archangel, has approached Mary, who is probably just a teenage girl at this point, and approaches her when her cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. And he says, hey, gives her greetings. And we are told that this is a girl who is a virgin that was betrothed or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And so here is Mary, a teenage girl, growing up in Jerusalem or in Nazareth, outside of Jerusalem, in Israel, in a place and in a time that was being held in bondage, really, by the Roman government. And Gabriel, like you and I should realize, is that no matter what's going on in the world, it does never stop God's plans, right? God was not put out by the Roman government. He wasn't wringing his hands, wondering if his plan was still going to work out. He knew exactly who and where, what time his plan was going to come to fruition. And so Gabriel approaches this young girl and gives her this news. In verse 28 says, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" That might be what you and I just need to hear this morning, is that one line, "O favored one, the Lord is with you." God is with you. No matter what is going on in your world, God is still there. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And you and I would do the same thing, right? If the angel Gabriel showed up at your house and greeted you, you would be caught off guard a little bit too. And so in her heart, she was troubled. This is something that had never happened to her before. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be?" Let's all say that together. How will this be? All right, one more time. How will this be? Yeah, Mary is going, "How will this be? What are you trying to tell me? How will this be since I am a virgin?" This seems like an impossibility. And it was for man, but it wasn't for God. And so here's what's going on. As she's in a situation where she's asking herself, "How can this be? What in the world is going on? I've heard all of this news all at once, and I'm having to question, I'm going to have to wonder, and I'm having to go to God and ask him, how will this be?" Well, as you are entering this season to be rather than to do, as you are taking this time this month to pull away and to get with the Lord and allow him to minister to you and remind you of who you are, of who he's created you to be, it's okay to talk to God and to ask questions and to say, "Lord, how will this be?" To talk to the messenger of the Lord, or as you're reading the scriptures and you're asking questions or you're wondering what is going on in your troubled soul, as Mary here was troubled, to ask this question, "How will this be?" It's a good step in your journey of faith. It's a good step to go back to once in a while and be reminded of where God has brought you from. Does anybody here remember when God picked you up for the very first time? Does anybody here remember when God tapped you on your shoulder and said, "Today," I see you right there, to say, "Today is the day of your salvation"? You know, it's something that we don't do often enough, is to remember where we were when God got a hold of us. I don't know about you, but when God reached down and grabbed me, I was in a pretty jacked up place, right? Everybody say jacked up. Yeah, you were messed up too. You know, some of you still are. Jay, he's a messed up dude. But by the grace of God, he has intervened in our lives, and he has found you and I that are followers of Jesus to be favored, to be chosen, to be drawn in by him, to have a role to play. Mary had a specific role to play, and we're going to see that she receives that and takes that on. But you and I as well have a role to play. So if you're doing life a little bit confused right now, a little bit lonely, a little bit lost, know that God still has a plan for you. And you might be in a season right now of questioning, going, what in the world is going on and how will this be? But what you can do during that season is make sure that you are listening sincerely to the words of God. What do I mean by that? Well, you see, just a few verses earlier, this same angel had appeared to Zechariah. And this is a guy who is a priest. This is a guy who's actually going into the temple and performing ceremonial type things there. And an angel shows up to him in the Holy of Holies and shares the news with him that he's going to be a dad. And he has more doubt in his heart. And the angel says, well, because of your doubt, because you didn't believe, you're going to be mute until this baby is born. And that's what happened. But we see that Mary had a different approach. She had a different heart. And she said, this is hard to believe. Tell me more. I want to encourage you who may be here this morning or watching online, that if you've entered into a cynical, doubting, maybe losing your faith kind of a season, and maybe church for you has changed, and maybe you're doubting or critiquing or wondering what things are going to be like, and you're feeling a little bit jaded. Anybody feeling a little bit jaded over the last 9 months? And you guys are, we got one honest person in the room. Thank you back there. Let me remind you that you can question sincerely and that God will give you the answers that you need. This is what Gabriel tells angel. This is what Gabriel tells Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. So he's telling her right off the bat that this child that you are carrying is special. This child that you will carry is not from you. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High. That is, he is going to be the Son of God. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. What's he saying there? She knows exactly what he's saying, that this child is going to be the Messiah, because the Messiah, when he comes, he is going to sit on the throne of David, and he is going to rule that throne forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. So I'm sure Mary was wrestling with, whoa, that is a whole lot to think about and a whole lot to take in. And also the fact that I've never been with a man. How can it be that since I am a virgin that I would have a child? And that's where we come to the next section that I want us to read, and the term nothing will be. Verse 35. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is how it's going to happen. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. What's he telling her? That the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her. That same word we see in the book of Leviticus, when the cloud in the Old Testament is on top of the temple and it rests on top of the Holy of Holy and overshadows the Holy of Holies. One way that you could take that passage to mean is this, is that for a short time, Mary's womb would become a Holy of Holies, that God would overshadow her and her womb in such a way that we can't fully understand, that would cause a child, it would cause Jesus to be there in that space, to be born into this world. And as Gabriel says in this passage, that he would be holy. Why? Because Joseph would have nothing to do with the conceiving or the bearing of this child. But it's God intervening in her life and making this miracle possible. The Son of God alive in her womb. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Verse 37, here it is. For nothing will be. And what's the next line? For nothing will be impossible with God. You see, as we are finding out and remembering who we are in this season of confusion, of the season of doubt perhaps in your life, and you are remembering what it means to be a person of faith and to be reminded of the time when God first came to you and ministered to you and gave you that gift of faith, let's be reminded and let's have that childlike kind of faith that this teenage girl had to be able to say and be able to hear correctly that nothing will be impossible with God. You see, Mary, I'm talking to you right now. I am the messenger of God. I have been in the very presence of God. That's what Gabriel told Zechariah a few verses earlier. And I know you're wondering and you're doubting and you're thinking, how in the world could this be possible that the promised Messiah would be my child? And how could it possibly be that it looks like this is completely impossible with me and my body? But Gabriel tells her, nothing is impossible with God. Remember that the God that we serve is the creator of the universe, the one that has created you and me and everything around us. And even though we may be in a season where things don't make sense and they don't add up the way that they used to, we can be reminded that nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything that he wants to, and it doesn't matter what is happening in the world around us. Your world may be falling apart. You may be wondering what is happening with our country or with our world or with your relationship or with your faith. But remember that nothing is impossible with God. Your situation may be dark and it may be dreary and you may feel down. But nothing is impossible with God. He is the one who is in control. And if you are favored, if you are chosen, if you are his child, he has you in his hand. And anything that he wants to see possible happen in your life, it will happen. That thing that you've been praying for, that God's promised you, it will come about because nothing is impossible with God. He can do whatever he wants. That is the God we serve. And that is the kind of church that we want to be here at Belmont, right? We want to be the kind of church that says God can do whatever he wants in this world around us. And we, by God's grace, will be a people that keep our faith and say, if God wants it to be so, we will do it. It may not make sense to us, humanly speaking. We don't even understand how this could happen, but we are a people who are called to live by faith, right? We are a people who are called to believe the impossible. And when the impossible seems impossible, right, to the watching world, and they go, I don't understand how you could believe that or how you could live that way, we remember that our eyes have been opened and we're able to see the impossible. We're able to see the miracle of Christmas. We're able to see the miracle of life and live in that and remember who we serve. Remember the God who has come for us, who took on flesh so that you and I could be redeemed. And then Mary ends with another phrase. So we've said, how will it be? And we've said, nothing will be. But then she says this, let it be. And I hope that that is the prayer of your heart and my heart today as we leave this place, that we would be the kind of individuals and that we would be the kind of church that says, let it be. You see, Mary is in a situation right now in this story where her whole entire life plan is gone. It's upside down. The person that she used to be, the life that she used to live, it's going to be drastically changed. She did not know about this. She had not put this in her day planner, right? She hadn't thought, schedule in Gabriel, big crazy, scary angel coming and giving me life-changing news. That's just not something that she had planned out, but it's something that God had planned out long before time even began. And her response was to hear the word of God, to hear what it is that he had to say to her, and then be willing to say, let it be. Let's read what she says. Verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of God. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I don't know about you, but for me, when I feel like I'm losing my way, when I'm unsettled, when I'm unsure, when I forget, when I doubt my calling, when I doubt my life, and if you're honest with yourself, over the last year, you might have said something like, "Man, I hate my life." Can I get a hand raise, anybody? I'm just being honest. "Man, I hate my life." I mean, I've never said that. I just wanted to see who else was going to do that. But thank you. I think because things are so up and down, sometimes we forget how we were feeling just a week ago. So we could be in a low spot and really feel like, "Man, this has changed everything." And then a week later, feel good again and be like, "Nah, I'm doing totally fine," and be up and down and up and down, emotionally speaking. But what we need to do is settle in, listen to the word of God, be reminded of who it says we are, to live there, to dwell there, so that when we hear the word of God, we can hear it quickly, we can hear it effectively, and we can be like Mary when she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. My life is not my own." Right? My plans with Joseph, my plans for our home, for our children, all that's going to be changed. And I'm going to be looked at differently than I've ever been looked at before. And people are going to say things. And people are going to doubt my intentions. And people are going to doubt where this child came from. And people aren't going to believe that this is the Messiah. But what she is saying here is this, is I'm the servant of God. I'm not the slave of those people that are around me, that question me, that doubt me, that don't understand me. I'm not a slave to the information that's coming in from this world. I'm not a slave from the information, from the media, from what I've been told. But instead, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. I receive it. Basically is what she's saying is, bring it on. I had my questions. How can this be? The angel gave me the answer. Hey, with God, everything is possible. With God, nothing is impossible. And she says, I believe. I don't totally understand. And he gave her an answer, right? Hey, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you so that the child that you're going to bear will be holy. Do you think she understood the complexities of that? Do you? Does anybody fully understand the virgin birth and how God took on flesh, became the God-man, is 100% God and 100% man? Nobody has that completely, like, yeah, I've got God figured out. But she had enough for faith. And she said, I am the servant of the Lord. The rest of my life, I receive this. In fact, for generations to come, she says, people will call me blessed, as she sings her song a few verses later and says, I'm going to embrace what God has for me, and I'm going to do it with a song. I'm not going to be the servant of the Lord like, fine, I'll be God's servant. because that's just the way I'm wired. I'm just a go-getter, so give me a whole bunch of boxes and I could serve at the church and I can do this and that and I can be a busybody. God's not calling you to be a busybody because that's how you function in life or that's the way that you're wired. God's more concerned about who you are than what you are doing for him. Because he cares more about your identity and who you are becoming than what it is you are doing. And sometimes it's those very things that we are doing that are distracting us from spending time in his presence. So let me encourage you, even right now, as we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, as we go to the Lord in prayer, to say, God, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Strengthen my faith. Lord, I am your servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And God, right now I just pray for our church family, for the individuals that are here today, Lord, that they would be able to have a renewed faith, that they would be able to leave here today casting off all the expectations that other people have on their lives, and Lord, that they could hear from you clearly what it is that you have ready for them, the plan that you have for their life. Lord, that they would spend the time to get away, to take a retreat, to spend some time on a farm, to go for a walk with you, to hear from you, to hear from your word, and be reminded of who they are in you. And God, I pray that we would come out on the other side of this year stronger than we've ever been before. For those who've had their world rocked by this year, Lord, I pray that you would use that for good. That they would look back later on this year and go, I thank God for that year, because that was the year that I quit holding on to all of my plans and all of my dreams and all of the things that I insisted upon. And that's the year that I told the Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be to me as you have said in your word. I give my life to you. For those that may be here this morning or watching online that do not know the Jesus that we're talking about, that do not know the Jesus who loves them, cares for them, gave his life so that their sins could be forgiven, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. My prayer is that today that the Lord would minister to your heart and God would talk to you, speak to you, and say, I love you. I see you. You are highly favored. I have a plan for your life. Things seem upside down right now, but I'm in control, and I desire to have relationship with you. Won't you hear my voice today? Won't you receive my son today? Won't you say, Jesus, save me? I realize that I've messed things up, that I'm sinful, that my heart is not what it should be, that I've fallen short of God's plan for my life. But today, I want to pray and receive the Lord for the very first time. With every head bowed, every eye closed, is there anybody here that would slip their hand up and say, Pastor John, that's me. Would you pray for me today that I would have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Anybody at all, just raise your hand up right now, wherever you are, and say, that's me, Pastor. I see you right there. Anybody else, say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know exactly what it means, but I want to start a real, authentic, living relationship with the God of the universe this morning. If you're watching online, you can just go ahead and type that in the chat. We have a host that's standing by that would love to pray with you and minister to you. And I'd love to follow up with you and talk to you more about what it means to follow Jesus. Lord, thanks for reminding us that we are believers, that what we believe doesn't make sense to the world, but it makes sense to you because you are God and we follow you and we love you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.